Amen. It is true that God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, promise keeper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many can say amen to the words of the song that we just sang together? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to start our sermon today with making a statement about what is going on around us. So I'm going to make a statement as a Christian, as a Christian community, we need to respond to. If I'm sure you probably are aware already that there are so many protests lately, nationwide. In fact, not only in America. This morning when I open up my internet and read the news, the protests is actually global. It's happening in a lot of other countries. So I think it is right for us to make a statement. So I'm going to make the statement as a church. And you probably have been aware of the protests and people carrying the sign hashtag Black Lives Matter. And I'm not speaking in support or not supporting this particular organization with this particular hashtag, but I want to make a statement that as a church and as a community of faith, we stand behind the principle they espouse, that black life counts. Proverbs 31, verse 8 to 9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of poor and needy, the poor and the needy." And as a church, we need to actively take a stance in this matter, as we are called to defend those who do not have a voice or who are unable to defend themselves. George Floyd was senselessly murdered, and that is not okay. We want to support proper prosecution of the officer who were a part of his murder. At the same time, we should and will join the call of many good people demanding reformation of justice and equality to people of all races. For too long, racism has been systemic, rampant for hundreds of years, and we want to be bold and declare that we are against it and want to change the system that is corrupt, that is in front of us. And due to our church that is predominantly Asian, it sometimes become easy to become indifferent toward the struggle of other races because we have not been targeted specifically as heavily as some of the minority communities. Since we tend to become the model minority, and we want to maintain that you know, we are just peace-loving and does not say much. But remember that a lot of us has on the end of receiving discrimination back in our homeland, Indonesia, either by being Christians over there or by being the ethnic minority Chinese with slanted eyes and fair skin. We have been discriminated over there. If we do not stand up and defend those who are discriminated here in the U.S., I'm wondering what credibility will we have later on when we have to defend ourselves against injustice and discrimination in Indonesia. We want to be active and pursue justice and have everyone treated equally. We should and we shall take a stand and take action, because that is what Christ wants us to do. In the coming weeks, we will explore together how we can take part actively in this struggle for justice and equality. There are several ways that we are considering right now, and I will talk to the leadership on how we can participate speak out, stand up, take action against injustice and inequality. And I'm confident our church can do the right thing. You can do the right thing. We have done in the past when we responded to the need of our brother and sister in India and Nepal. We rose up and we give and we participate in lessening the suffering of those who are at risk because of the pandemic. And we will do so again. We will come to aid the struggle of our brothers and sisters in the Black American community. And that is the end of our statement as a church. And when I reflect upon the message that I'm about to speak today, I can see that the issue of justice and equality is very relevant to our topics today. We just want to refresh everyone. Before the Pentecost season, we were speaking from the book of James. And James has a lot to say about the issue that we are facing today. So let's continue our study. Today we are looking at James chapter 2, verse 14. So let's look at that verse. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. That's what we're reading from, 17 and 18. It says, so too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, which means inoperative and ineffective. But someone may say, you claim to have faith and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without the works, if you can. And I will show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do. So what James is saying is that faith is not only a mind exercise. It's not only a mind activities. It is not only theoretical, philosophical, but faith is very practical. Our faith needs to be manifested in our actions, our choices, our words, and how we live our lives. That is faith. That is complete faith. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, as a lot of us say that we do, then there must be outward proof. It must show. And that is the work that James is talking about. The work that we do has to be consistent with the faith that we have. So the next question that comes up is, what does James mean when he say work? What kind of work? Well, turns out he did specify exactly what he means when he say works. And not coincidence that we as a church has been studying what works mean in the definition, in the language of James. So I just want to do a quick review. Last month, when we speak about this particular works that James called works, and last month, on the first session, first sermon on this particular topic, we take the word of John from James chapter 1, verse 19, and this is what it says. Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear, which is be a careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. And we spoke about that. To James, this is the kind of work that we need to show toward others. And when we deliver that sermon, this is very applicable to the order of settle in place, because families will have to get together and cannot go out from the house and they are encountering each other more often, or your roommate, not only families, but you know, mom and dad and children, but also those of you who have roommates and people in the same household. We speak about this, and this is very timely at that time, because at that time we need to learn how to relate with one another. And James is teaching us, you have faith, good, but treat others with patience. You have to be slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. Very applicable at that time when we, there was like probably end of March that we talk about this. And then James also continue with the second thing that he defined as work. And this is from James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans, widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. The kind of religion that is pure and undefiled is to come to the aid of those who needs it. And I think this is also very timely, because as the settle in place was being implemented all over the world, people could not go out to do their daily labor. And especially people from the poorer country. And so they could not earn income. And they are at risk of hunger. We heard so many stories from particularly Mumbai, where people just kill themselves and the whole family decided to commit suicide because they were unable to find food. So as a church, we did respond to that. Just want to give you a little update that now we have fulfilled our commitment to help Nepal. The budget has been met. All of you participate in this, so thank you very much. And we have even more than what we need for Nepal. So we are shifting that extra money to Mumbai. And again, we have a lot of people participate in that. And I thank you for, the church thank you for that participation. We're sending the money to Mumbai now, and more money is coming in. Thank you so much. Keep on doing that. We'll just send 100% of what you send to us to help people at risk, wherever they are. Amen. So thank you. But this word from James is very relevant for us, that religion, our faith, is only good when we take it together with doing good work. In this case, he encouraged us to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And the last one, according to James, we studied this together already in the past sermon, is this. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brother and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. So we talk about that. And today, we thank God. You know, for a while, when we studied this favoritism, in my heart as a pastor, I kind of get a little confused. Not confused, but like I'm not finding ways to see how this can be applicable in our church. Because our church is pretty homogeneous. Everybody pretty much from the middle class, and we have enough. You know, most, I'm not saying everybody. We have enough to sleep, to eat, and we are okay. And you know, there is no superstar in this church, so we are not showing favoritism. So for a while, I'm thinking maybe the church cannot find a good application on this word. But that's okay. We'll just preach it, and we'll just teach it that, you know, when time comes, you should not show favoritism to whoever that you encounter. But God, turns out, open the way for us to understand about this particular subject even more. Because what's going on around us today with the protests and with the killing of black American, that is actually an example of a favoritism. But before we get into a particular about that kind of favoritism, which is called racism. Let's look at quickly what favoritism is in its form today. Well, first of all, for example, we know something called nepotism. Nepotism is a form of favoritism in business, which is the hiring of family members in the company that you control, regardless of qualification. That is called nepotism. Just so that you know that favoritism has many manifestations. The second one, for example, is hero worship. You are treating famous people, sports superstar, or singers, actress, differently because they are famous. You prefer to treat this kind of people as somebody more favorable than the other. It's called hero worship. Hero worship is actually a form of favoritism. Gender bias, believing that one gender is better than the other. Today, we're still struggle. A lot of progress has been made with the rights of women in the marketplace and in the society. Women can vote, women can hold jobs, but still we are dealing with not equal pay for women. So that is a form of favoritism, ageism, treating someone differently because of their age. Older people nowadays are not too desirable to work because now they got the experience and they are now probably weaker and they cannot contribute as much, although I believe as I age, I become more wise and I become, you know, very productive and effective. But some people are treated differently because of their age. And the last one, racism. Treating one race different than others, usually preferring one race to the others. And that is the subject matter that we are talking today. Racism. You treat one race different. You prefer your own. That is racism. And James called out racism as sin because it is a reflection of wicked hearts. In James 2, chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, the Word of God says, "You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressor." James clearly said, you should not be partial. Any form of favoritism, whether that is nepotism, hero worship, gender bias, ageism, or racism, that is sin. Because you do not love your neighbor as yourself. You treat others differently. Let's dig into it a little bit more about racism. Number one, and I want to teach this so that we have a base, a philosophical, theological base, so that we can respond correctly to what's happening around us. Okay? Sometimes people just react, but I think react can lead us to the wrong response. We need to know what the Bible says so that we can respond and react correctly. Okay, so first, let's just go dig into this problem of racism because that is the problem that we have on hand that I think the church need to speak out against and defend the rights of those who are discriminated. Racism is against God's design. John chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Stop judging merely by appearances and make a right judgment." Racism is judging by appearance. You look at the skin of the person, and then you immediately judge that this person is less than us, is different, therefore, you know, all kind of negative attitude, negative action toward the person that looks different than your race. The Word of God says, stop. Stop doing that. Make the right judgment. All people are created equally, and all spirit is as precious in the eyes of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 11, "For God does not show favoritism." That's very clearly. That is who God is, and that is the way God designed humanity, is God does not favor favoritism. these verses and many others show us that racism are opposite to God's will and God's design. And we must recognize this type of racial judgment in ourselves and root it out. We must confess the sin of favoritism if we have that kind of attitude. And the second one is racism is hatred, and hatred is sin. Where in the Bible does it say that hatred is sin? This, in Leviticus, and this is the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17 says, do not hate your brother in your heart. So even in your heart, you can commit sin by hating. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Racism is hatred, and you cannot be walking in light if you still hates your brothers. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. Lying is sinning. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. This one, I think, is the heaviest one. We all claim that we love God, but if we cannot love our brothers and sisters that we can see, how can you love God that you cannot see? And if you claim to love God that you cannot see, but you do not love those you can see, maybe we need to check whether our religion is only a conceptual idea in our head and not the true faith that we should have in our hearts. Because that's exactly what James said. You can believe all you want, but if your action does not reflect what you believe, then that is not faith, and that faith is death. So we can clearly see racism is against God's design, and racism is hatred, and hatred is sin. Hallelujah. How many so far can follow this, right, and see where we are going? So let's get practical. What should we do? What should we do? And how do we guard against discrimination? I have three things that I want to share today. The first one is believe and speak correct beliefs. The Bible is not unclear about favoritism. The Bible speaks clearly about the fact that God is against hatred and racism. So we must believe this. We must adopt the same perspective that the Word of God is teaching us. We must believe and speak what the Bible shares. And this starts with us. Within us, all of us, we are still growing and being sanctified by the help of the Holy Spirit. And this is the area which I want to call the church, because this is such a time like this, to again check our hearts. Do we really believe that all people are created equal? Do we really believe that all people, all souls, are precious in the eyes of God? We need to check ourselves. As I check myself in the past few days, I discovered that I am not free from favoritism. I remember my attitude toward people of different race. There was always suspicions, uncomfortable feeling. The people that I encountered of different race did not do anything to me, but it is just a natural, quote-unquote, reaction that comes from my wicked heart. I remember my families, my big families, their attitude toward people that is different than them. They use certain language to call a person of different race. A lot of you come from Indonesia, you remember the household helpers. How do we treat the household helper? They don't eat with us. They eat after us. They serve us. They don't sleep in the same nice place like us. We don't treat them equally, the household helpers. I can see that. Now, I am as guilty as anybody else. That is why God teach us that we must believe the right thing. And not only believe the right thing, we need to speak out. At this time, probably I would not suggest you joining the protest because we are still under social distancing rule. But I imagine I will not stop you, in fact, probably support you if you want to express what you have learned, a result of your reflection about the issue of equality. Again, I'm not suggesting you to do that, but if your heart chooses to do so, we cannot stop you to do the protest because that is voicing out what you believe. Maintain social distancing. That is what I can say. But another way you can do that is in your posts in social media. You do not have to always post a picture of your face or the food that you eat. You can also post the word of God that inspire your heart, that bring understanding about the issue of racism and favoritism. You can do that from your social media posts. There's so many other things. You can support the organization that you believe promote the rights of minorities financially, in prayer. So believe and speak correct beliefs. As you speak the correct belief, the Holy Spirit is going to give you more input. You will learn more about the issue. You will gain wisdom on how, as a Christian community and personality, you need to respond to what's going on around us. The second thing is that you need to pray about the issue. Do not just keep on watching the TV and develop this fear of uncertainty and what's going on. You pray about it. We must pray that racial attitude and beliefs are not a part of our hearts. This is sin. This is something that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us so we are not showing favoritism. First, they say that judgment starts in the house of God. It is within us. We need to check our hearts. Do we show favoritism? We must pray that these racial attitudes and beliefs are not part of our church family. You need to speak out if we treat someone differently in this church based on their race. We must pray against that and guard against that. We must pray that others who deal with racial belief would wake up and understand the truth of the words of God. People need the wisdom from God. This nation needs the word of God. We must pray that the Bible and Christianity is not twisted wrongly to help support sin. We cannot justify favoritism. We cannot justify racism with our verses. God is on the side of the weak. We must pray for wisdom. We must pray for healing. We must pray. We must be the people who pray for our nation and the world. We must pray for the restoration of God's love according to His initial design. He wants a people that is united in love to have a relationship with Him. We must pray. Check our hearts. And we pray for a better future for our children. So that is, we must pray. And then lastly, love well. Put your belief into action. Love the people in your church. Love the people that you worship with every Sunday. Love the people in your neighborhood, at work, at school. Love the people that you encounter every day. We must love no matter whether they are red, yellow, black, white, whatever color of their skin, because everyone is precious in God's eye. We need to love like Christ because we are living in a world that is aching for love. People need God's love. People need love. And that love, what better place that love flow from other than the house of God? We need to set ourselves as an example that we love. And love is action. Do practical thing that we can do. You can pray for the person, but you can also relieve the difficulty and challenge that other person is facing. We need to love like we have the answer and to the hurts of racism. That's how I want to end the sermon today is by calling us all to do this three things together in the face of what we are facing as a nation and as a church and as a community. Believe and speak correct belief. Pray about this particular issue and love well. Put into action what you believe. I hope this word of God encourages you to do the right thing. We have responded correctly to James as he called us to relate well to the member of our family, and as we responded to the need around the world. This time, the word of God from James is calling us to not show favoritism, to defend the rights of those who are being discriminated. Amen. So let us now prepare our hearts.